Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, looking at the book of Hebrews again tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 22, Lord willing. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. The Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So we saw there, number one, let us draw near to God. And there's another let us in the next verse, verse 23. Let us what? Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. So the first thing is let us draw near to God. Number two, let us hold fast our profession. But what about others? We can let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast our profession. But we're just kind of still in our own little world, then, aren't we? We can be walking with God. We can be holding fast our profession, but what about the rest of the world? Well, there's a third, let us, verse 24. And let us, what? Consider one another. There it is. Now we're burst out of our own shell. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, we can be off in a pursuit by ourselves, but what about everyone else? I was reading about a man that took off for a solo flight. He was the first one that did a solo flight around the world. But I found out that he had been in prison for a year once for something he had done wrong. But you know, that same man later on in his life, after his fame of going around the world, would sit and sup or eat with the President of the United States. So what a contrast. As we think about us, sometimes we need to break out of our shell just concerned about ourselves and consider one another. The word consider means, according to Strong's Concordance, it means to observe fully, behold, consider, discover, perceive. You know, it's easy, isn't it, just to go right on our way and not even pay attention to what's around us. And they tell us, especially in crime situations, well, what color was the car? What was the license plate? The person who did the wrong, what color was their hair? Were you close enough to see their eyes? What color were their eyes? So many times I'm just in a fog. You know, someone says, well, what did the person look like? I don't know. What color was their hair? I'm not sure. I'm just kind of in a fog, I guess. But consider means to observe fully, to behold, to consider, to discover, to perceive. Have you ever perceived that someone is sad? Or happy? What do we perceive? What do we notice? Hold your place here if you would, but let's turn to Proverbs 31. We find in Proverbs 31 a person who is very busy. But you know what? This person considers others. This person, although extremely busy, is observing what is going on around. Beholding, discovering, perceiving. Let's start in verse 10, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find what? A virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Wow. You know, we are really disrespectful, aren't we, as children, when we ever are disrespectful to our mothers. Because this is a picture, isn't it, of what mothers and wives, there are so many things on their shoulders to accomplish in a day's time. And you would think, if anyone in the world is not responsible for anything outside of the home bubble, you would say it's the wife and mother. You'd say there is so much to do right there. And that's true. But let's look at the next verse, verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to who? The poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to who? The needy. You might say, wow, there's already so many needs in the home. But this virtuous woman is considerate. Let's look at the definition again. Consider, to observe fully, to behold, to consider, to discover, to perceive. So Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another. In other words, let's quit worrying about ourselves and all of our things, all of our problems, and let's break that bubble, burst out of that, and be considerate. It's not being considerate when we only think of ourselves and our needs. Now, if I were to ask you how many of you have needs or problems or heartaches, probably everyone would raise their hand. Something would fit into one of those categories. But you know what? If all of us came tonight just waiting for someone that we could tell all of our problems to, then we wouldn't be very considerate about anyone else, would we? We wouldn't even have a prayer list, would we? What we would hand out is just a blank sheet of paper and say, okay, now each of you have so many needs of your own. Just write down your own needs. We're going to sit right in our seats tonight. And you just pray about your own needs because you have so many. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But we wouldn't be considering one another, would we? This is a let us consider one another. A considerate person doesn't think of self. A considerate person thinks of others and their needs. But that goes against our flesh, doesn't it? Because there's one thing that every person on the face of the earth is, and that is selfish. By nature, we are selfish. And so God stirs us here. Consider one another. Observe fully. Behold, consider, discover, perceive what are the needs of someone else. And that's what the virtuous woman does here in verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Why? Her hand is so tired. How does she have the strength to do that? We were cutting up the wood. I was reminded by someone my age, but just after a while, holding the chainsaw up and, you know, cutting branches, my arms got just a little tired doing that. I guess I need to cut more wood. Don't necessarily want another storm, but well, let's look at a man in a similar situation, Judges 19. Let's look at a man who is very busy, but let's see if he's a considerate man. Judges 19, verse 15. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he set him down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim. And he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, "Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our animal, our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be with thee, howsoever let what? All thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street." So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. You notice back in verse 15 that they rolled into town and said, there was no man that took them into house to lodging. But verse 16, behold, there came an old man from what? His work out of the field at what? Even, do you think this guy was tired? I think it's pretty clear. It says he's an old man. He came from his work out of the field, and it was evening. I don't think there's any question, but this man was tired. But he comes into town and he sees this man and this little group of people and their animals and abiding in the streets. And you know what? He could have easily thought, you know what? I'm old. I've worked all day long. I'm tired. And I don't care that there's this little group of people sitting on the curb. I'm tired. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to, "Hi, how you doing? God bless you," you know, go on. But there's something in the scripture that talks about that, isn't there? About blessing someone but not giving them anything to eat. What good does that do? Nothing. So this old man brought him into his house. Now, I don't know if he had a wife or not. If so, it does not mention it. So it's very possible that he had to get the food, too, that he had to make the meal for these strangers. I wonder if we are considerate people. As we consider that in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another. Remember, consider means to observe fully, to behold, to discover, to perceive. With all of our own needs and our own problems and our own cares and just our own tiredness, do we ever consider one another? Now, notice with me in 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7. We find here a man who was busy. 1 Samuel 7. And let's start in verse 15, 1 Samuel 7:15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in what? Circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. This guy was busy. Samuel was busy. He took a circuit. He went back and forth around in this circuit. And then back home, verse 17, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. He's a busy guy. But chapter 8 and verse 1, it came to pass when Samuel was what? Old. That he made his sons judges over Israel. Now he's taking his circuit. He makes his son judges. Verse 2, now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons what? Walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took what? Bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us what? A king to judge us like all the nations. Samuel was a busy guy. In this case, though, he is so busy with his circuit, evidently, that he isn't considerate enough about the needs in his own home. It can be either way, can it? Or both. It can be we're so consumed just with ourselves and our own needs that we're not considerate of the people in our home, and we're not considerate of the people outside of our home. But opposite the virtuous woman and opposite of that old man we just looked at, we find this old prophet who is busy in his circuit, but somewhere along the line, his sons didn't get on the same flight. And they didn't walk in his ways, verse 3. They took bribes and perverted judgment, and it turned away the hearts of the people of Israel. Up, make us a king like all the nations. And Samuel, we don't see things continuing like it was under you. There's some differences now. Your boys take bribes, they pervert judgment. Make us a king like all the nations. Well, a little different take. Let's look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Are we considerate? Are we considerate? Do we fully observe what's going on around us? Do we really see the needs? In Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I know him that he will what? Command his children and his household after him. And they shall what? Keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So in Abraham's case, he was considerate of what was going on in his home. He did see the needs. God said that he knew Abraham, and he would teach his children to follow the Lord like he had followed the Lord. Think about another person who went out in Acts chapter 9. We're talking about being considerate. And let us consider one another. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. What about this man? What was his eye on? Acts 9 verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul had his sights set on persecuting Christians. In fact, if you go with me to Acts 26, Acts chapter 26, this is his own, out of his own mouth, his own testimony. Acts 26 and verse 9. He testified, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly what? Mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So this man, Saul, who later would become Paul, his he was not considerate of other people at all. He persecuted. He described himself as a madman, not in the sense of angry, but just insane, in just going after people in an unnatural zeal or fervor against them. But notice in Galatians chapter 1, Galatians 1, what a change came upon this man as he got saved. And Saul became Paul. And suddenly you have someone considering, let us consider one another. He considered other people now and their spiritual needs. Galatians 1:21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now what? Preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Yes, he considered other people now, because he faced extreme persecution to get them the gospel, but he willingly did that. So he was considerate of others. Let's go back to Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So number four, let us provoke one another. Let us consider one another. Let us provoke one another. The word provoke means to call into action, to arouse, to excite. What are we provoking people to do? Number one, let us provoke one another to love. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love. In our country right now, there's so much provoking to hate and to rioting. Not inciting people to love, but inciting people to anger. There's so much swearing and cursing going on right now. Cursing policemen. We need to pray for our local police. One of the ones that watches our township here where the church is a professing Christian, and he's concerned about others, that they might be saved. We need to pray for our police officers, for their protection and wisdom. And of course, many police officers are not saved. They're just like anyone else, and they're putting their lives on the line every day. So we need to pray that God would bless people. All they hear is cursing. We need to pray that God would bless them and bring them to himself. Notice in John 12. John 12, verse 32. John chapter 12 and verse 32. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will what? Draw all men unto me. You know, we can have a part in that by blessing people. God told us to bless even our enemies. And so we need to pray that God would bless people. I mean, even people that their habit of life, their way of life, their style of life is not godly. We need to bless them in the Lord's name and help them to see that God loves them and wants them to be saved. Let's not be like James and John and just, as it were, call down lightning to consume everyone. Call down fire from heaven. Jesus is drawing them, and we want to be a part of that, of showing them that he is drawing them. But notice with me in Psalm 142, you know, there are so many people that are lonely. We've been talking a lot about the people in the nursing homes, in the assisted living homes. They are very lonely. And those that are fighting different dementias, I mean, I wonder if some of them are even going to recognize their loved ones if they ever get the chance to see them again. Because some of them already have a hard time remembering loved ones. Will they even know them? Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was what? No man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And then what? No man cared for my soul. I mean, what must these people think in these nursing homes? There was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Why can't I see my loved ones? You know, people with different dementias already have a hard time keeping up with the day and the year and the month. It's because more and more they just don't have anything to associate. Their days are just filled with sleeping and not much action, and they just lose track of time. But how many people really walking in this world and working in this world have really lost track of time, of life, of purpose? They need someone to tell them that God cares. I mean, they may think their boss doesn't care about them. They may get home to yelling and cursing at them. And they may think no one in this house really loves me. And I mean, that verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld there. But there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That sounds like a pretty bleak verse. And there are a lot of pretty bleak people in this world. I mean, and they know, many of them know that they got themselves into it. Many of them know that alcohol has got them right into the mess they're in. Many of them know that drugs have got them into the mess. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their marriage. They know it's because of their drug addiction. And I mean, there's a lot of bleak people. But you know what? How do you change that? You surround that person with the truth that God cares, and that we care, and that we want them to be saved. So look at verse 4 now, surrounded. In other words, let's go to verse 3 and then down through verse 5. Let's surround verse 4 and see a difference that it can make. Verse 3. Verse 3. When my spirit was what? Overwhelmed with, then within me, then what? Thou knewest my path. In other words, someone cares. Someone knows about my path. They care. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Verse 5. I cried unto who? Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my what? Portion in the land of the living. What does that mean, Thou art my portion in the land of the living? It means this. I have a purpose for still being alive. There's a lot of people in this world that think this life is lousy. There's no purpose. There's no meaning to life. And they would just as soon be dead as alive. Do you see the difference of verse 4 if you put verse 3? Verse 3 shows that, you know what? God knows my path. Verse 4 looks at the bleakness, but verse 5 looks at God. He's my refuge. He's my portion. So when you surround verse 4 with verses 3 and 5, you suddenly have hope. You have hope. Life is suddenly different. And we desire to be a part of that in Colossians 4. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are what? Without. That's the lost. Redeeming the time. So, considering one another, provoking one another into love, it's like being observant, looking, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with what? Grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I know there's so many disturbing things happening in America right now. But like once again, tonight, in the governor's latest executive order, it does not apply or there is no penalty for a church meeting. There's no penalty for a church not following all the new things. So even in hardships, there's things to rejoice God is blessing you. So let's provoke. Let's go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So number one, let us provoke one another to love. Number two, let us provoke one another to good works. Provoke means, once again, to call into action, to arouse, to excite. Are we doing that? That's one of the reasons to meet together. And I know the world says, well, you can just, I mean, they could tell us churches never need to meet again. Just go online. But it's hard to provoke one another to love and good works when we can't even talk to one another, when we can't even see one another. So it's part of this assembling ourselves together. And if you look there in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I don't know all the reasons for why God allowed this coronavirus to come about. I don't know who really started it. I don't know whether the Chinese started it on purpose, whether it was something in a lab that just got out by accident. That I cannot answer. God knows. But I do know that it's affected everybody on earth, every country on earth. And so we need to rise up, provoke, to call into action, to arouse, to excite. Notice in 1 John 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. First John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in what? In word, neither in what? Tongue, but in what? Deed and in truth. So action. But deed and in truth. I installed a hitch on the vehicle we got. And so I looked online and it said, you can bolt this hitch right on. The manufacturer has welded three nuts on the inside of the frame, three on each side, so six. And so I ordered the hitch. It came and I got the bolt and I did a little looking online, and they said those nuts up in there are, you know, it's just open to salt and water. And so I said those threads are pretty rusty sometimes, depending on the age of the vehicle. Well, the vehicle we have is 10 years old. And so I looked up in there. I thought, ooh, that doesn't look good. And so I thought, I'm going to get a tap. A tap is something that you can drill a hole in metal and then it will cut threads. You turn it and it'll cut threads. And I thought, well, I'm just going to get a tap the same size as those bolts. And then that's a lot better. I mean, some people online, you know, are trying to use a wire brush, and I was looking up in there and I thought, ooh, there's a lot of rust up in there. And so I got a tap at the hardware store. Well, first of all, I took the bolt with me, and at the hardware store, they have different size things where you can test nuts or bolts. They have both there, so I looked at it. I screwed it into a half-inch hole that said fine thread. It screwed in easy, screwed out easy. Thought, well, that's what it is. It's a half-inch fine thread. So I got a tap, half-inch fine thread. And I got home and up underneath there, and I tried to use an impact driver first of all, and I didn't get very far at all. I had to back off. I kept putting oil on it, try it, back. It got so my impact wouldn't even turn it in. So I had to get my long ratchet, and I could only go just a tiny little portion of a turn, and it would stop, and I didn't want to break the socket and things. And so I'd have to back it off. And those of you who have made threads know how that goes. But I didn't know I was going to make it. I mean, my wife come out and ask me, I think it was supper time somewhere in between here. And she asked me how I was going. I said, it's not going good. I haven't even got one of these nuts cleaned up yet, the threads. Not one. And so I finally did one, and I gave up. I'm going to go eat. And I talked to Brother Jim about it. And so I looked online, and to see what size bolt that was. And online it said 12 millimeter. It was not American thread. It was metric thread. And I thought, but I screwed that right in. And what gave me a clue is when I finally got that one nut cleaned up and screwed the bolt in, it rattled. And I thought, this is not good. I'm going down the road with a load, and the bolts I'm going to put in are loose. How's that going to hold anything? And that's when I went in and checked online, and it said 12 millimeter. And so I checked online. I says, 12, well, I said metric to standard thread. And so it popped up a website conversion, and I put metric column 12, standard column. What does that equal? And I think it said 15, 30 seconds. Well, that is, if you're going by 30 seconds, it's one size below a half inch. So my problem was I was trying to tap threads in a nut that was too small. I mean, even drilling a drill bit, it would have been a bigger hole. So it was having to do a lot of work. It's a wonder I didn't just snap the tap right off. So I went back into the hardware store, and I found out that, or else I looked through the sheets, but what I found out was in standard threads, there's coarse and fine. That's American. But in metric, there was a 12, I don't know if it's a standard, I forget what it's called, but then there's a number 12 fine, and then there's a number 12 super fine, they call it. Well, this was a number 12 super fine. The problem is this. When I found it, that bolt just screwed in easy to a fine thread, and I never knew this would even work. Normally, when you go from metric to standard threads, you'll know it quickly because they will not screw into each other. They're just different. But it was so strange that actually worked, that metric actually could screw into a fine thread standard. My problem was is I didn't consider it close enough. Because at the hardware store, if I would have wobbled that around more, I would have thought, that's too loose. And I would have understood that. And as I think about it, it talks about provoking one another to love and to good works. And then, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The truth was, is I had the wrong tap. I was trying to use something that wasn't meant for that. And you know, when I got the right tap, I had to look all over for one, but just before 9 o'clock last night, online it said one of the auto stores here in town had the right tap. I got in there and he went over to the rack and said, no, I don't have that size. And I said, well, online it says you do, but I said, that's what happens sometimes. The computer says it's in the inventory, but it's not. But there wasn't even a place for it. There wasn't even a peg for it. He said, let me go check somewhere. And he found another size one. He says, nope, this is back here, another place, but this isn't it. And he said, let me talk to someone else. He talked to someone else, and guess what? They had it. He said, it wasn't where it was supposed to be, but they actually had it. And when you consider this, Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It takes some looking. It takes some finding. It takes some being observant. And as we look at that Hebrews 10:24 again, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, many times in life, we're not too concerned about detail, are we? Except if it concerns ourselves. That's the only time we really, often really, really care. Someone else says that they're hurting. Yeah, so we don't really care too much about detail. Unless it concerns ourselves. I just pray the Lord would help us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. But it's going to take us paying attention on purpose outside of our own selves, caring about others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. So many times we're too hasty, like the bolts. It appears like everything is fine because we're really not checking that close. It was too sloppy, but it seemed easy, so we thought it must be okay. Lord, I pray that you would help us to consider one another, to observe, to pay attention, and to provoke unto love and to good works, to encourage others, Lord, along the way. And so I pray the Holy Spirit would help us to do that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.